All right, Shabbos, good morning. Let's begin. Another beautiful daf today. Today's daf is daf Gimel, Meseches Avodah Zarah. And I will say we are picking up on the bottom of Beis Amud Beis 2b, and we're picking up Amar Lahem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is four lines up from the bottom. So we're picking up in the dramatic narrative of the Ribono Shel Olam and the Umos Olam, the nations of the world, when speaking about when Ribono Shel Olam comes with the Sefer Torah in his chest, telling the nations of the world, whoever has gone ahead and observed the Torah, come and collect your reward. The nations line up. The Ribono Shel Olam asks them a simple Torah. Ultimately, a simple question, who amongst you has observed the Torah? And of course, none of them are able to answer. So the Gemara is trying to understand. So now the nations kind of come back, and they say to Ribono Shel Olam, well, you know, we didn't accept it. You didn't give it to us. That's not a good answer. The last answer we saw from the Umos Olam was, they said, well, listen, Kadosh Baruch Hu, even Klal Yisrael did accept the Torah, accepted it because you placed them under duress, meaning you threatened them. Okay, had you threatened us, we also would have accepted the Torah, but you didn't threaten us. So what happens? So Amar Lahem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaRishon Los Yashminu, Ribono Shel Olam says, well, let's do this. Why don't we look at your relationship with the Shem Mitzvot B'nei Noach? Why don't we look at your relationship with the commandments you do have? And at the end of the day, Shneemar, HaRishon Los Yashminu, Sheva Mitzvot Shekibaltem Heichan Kiyamtem. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to the Umos Olam, big shots. You say that you would have observed the Torah, but I gave you seven mitzvot, and you don't even observe those mitzvot. You don't even keep the basic staples of Noahide law. So how can you claim that if you were given the Torah, you would have accepted the Torah? How do you know that the nations of the world didn't uphold the servants of Noah? The Tani Rav Yosef, because the pasuk says, Amad vayimodid aretz ra'a v'yasar goyim. Ma ra'a, what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu see? Ra'a zayin mitzvah shekiblu alayim b'nei Noach v'lo kimum. Ribono Shel Olam saw the seven mitzvahs that b'nei Noach accepted upon themselves, and yet they did not uphold them. Kevan shelo kaimum, once he saw that the nations of the world did not accept or did not uphold the seven mitzvahs, Amad v'tiranan. It's a very dramatic Gemara. Once HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that the nations of the world did not uphold the seven mitzvahs b'nei Noach, the Ribono Shel Olam was matir them. Now, we'll say matir literally sounds like what? Kadosh Baruch Hu released them from the Shem Mitzvot B'nei Noach. To which the Gemara says, 1 second. Iskuri Iskar, are you telling me then that through non-performance of the mitzvos, the nations of the world benefited? In other words, because they didn't perform the mitzvos, they're exempted? That doesn't make any sense. Imkein, Matzinu Chotei Niskar. If that's the case, then what happens? We see that a sinner is rewarded. Rabbi will say, how is a sinner rewarded? So apparently, don't keep something. Let God command you to do something. Don't keep it, right? Fail to keep it, and what? And the Kadosh Baruch Hu will give you a pass. Does that make sense? Amar Mar Brei Ravina, we'll say top of Gimel, Lomar, Sha'af Al Pi Shemekaymin Osan Ein Mekablan Alein Schar. No, what it means is that even though they're obligated to keep it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not give them schar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't give them reward. So they're obligated, and Umos HaOlam are obligated to keep the Shem Mitzvot B'nei Noach, but ultimately they do not get reward for it. V'lo, is that true? They don't get reward for it? V'atanya, Hay Rabbi Meir Omer, Minayin Shafilu Oved Kochavim Va'osik Patorah, Shuka Kohen Gadol. We'll say, how do we know that even if a Gentile, a non-Jew, learns Torah, an idolater, I should say, learns Torah, that he is as great as the Kohen Gadol? We'll say, what that seems to mean is, the way we're understanding it is, that if a non-Jew goes ahead and performs his mitzvos, that he gets schar just like the Kohen Gadol. And again, even if we were to learn Torah, the Mefarshim point out that this is Davkar Torah Shebichsav. There's a whole discussion with non-Jews learning Torah Shebalpeh. Not our topic for today. But how do I know that if a non-Jew learns Torah, that he gets schar like a Kohen Gadol? Which Shabbosai means, for our purposes, that when a Gentile, an idolater, performs a mitzvah, he gets a reward. So the Gemara says, Tamu Lomar, Asher Ya'asa Osa Adam V'chai Bohem. Because the Pasuk says, these are the mitzvot that a person will perform, and he will live through them. Kohanim Leviim v'Yisraelim lo ne'emar. It doesn't say Kohanim Leviim v'Yisraelim. Ela ha'adam. We'll say now ha'adam is the most generic term we have for a human being. Halamarata shafilu ovei kocham v'osik patorah hariyuka kohen gadol. We'll say, so the fact that it employs the word ha'adam teaches us that what? That any person who engages in the pursuit of spirituality is rewarded. So how can you claim that the idolaters, that the nations of the world, don't get reward for the performance of Shem Mitzvot B'nei Noach? It seems to be to the contrary. It seems to be, it's clear that they do get reward. Ella, rather, what does it mean, Rabosei? Inachinami, you're right. That the nations of the world, Rabosei, the Umos HaOlam, when they go ahead and they do their mitzvot, they do get reward. But Ela lomar lacha shein mekablin aleim schar kimitzuva va'osa. Rather, I will say what it means is as follows. That ultimately, again, they don't get reward as someone who is commanded to perform the mitzvah. Rather, they get reward as someone who is not commanded to do the mitzvah. Dam Rabbi Chanina, Godol HaMitzuva Va'osa, Yosir Mishe'ena Mitzuva Va'osa. As Rabbi Chanina says, Rabbi Osai, that a person who is commanded to do something and does it gets greater reward for a person who is not commanded but yet does it of their own volition. I will say, very often we think just the opposite. We think that someone who does something that they are not commanded to do is of a higher level because they're going above and beyond to obligate themselves. Masha Inke, the person who is obligated, I'm obligated, so I don't get a great shot. So we'll say, if you look at Tosis, Tosis says over here, Gadol HaMetzuvah Va'osa, Perish, Mipneishu Doeg Tamid Levatel Yitzro, because we know this. I don't need Tosis to tell me this because we know it. When you are commanded to do something, there is a greater yitzhara not to do it. Not to do it. Right? It will say, so what mean anytime you have to do something, by definition, the push against it, not to do it, which is a whole variety of things. And the most, you know, Rav Chaim Shulevitz writes extensively about this. That at the end of the day, it will say, what we want more than anything is self-autonomy. What we want more than anything is, I want control. Don't tell me what to do. So the moment that somebody tells me what to do, and even if it's God, by definition, there is a subconscious desire to push back against that. You know, interestingly enough, do you know what is the common, most common first word for children? Most common first word?
No.
No. No. We'll say, what's the problem? All of our children have, you know, oppositional defiance disorder. Like, what's the pshat? The pshat is because embedded in our psyche is this desire for complete control. Don't tell them. I mean, it might also be because it's monosyllabic. I'm sure there's other reasons, linguistic reasons why that is. But lemaise, again, on a deep psychological level, on a deep ruchni level, it's because don't tell me what to do. Don't tell me what to do. That's why I will say, you know, it's an amazing thing. I remember when, where was it that they had the big floods that we went to go clean up? No, before. Seagate. See, remember, Hurricane Sandy? Sir, it was amazing. I saw. We got like buses of men to get on there and go clean up someone else's garbage while each of us lament the fact that we have to take out our own garbage. Right? It's an amazing thing. I haven't cleaned up my basement for years, but Chaim Yankel's basement, you know, a couple of states away, I'm there, right? I'm ready to clean it up. Why was the pshat? Because in my house, I have to do stuff. And I don't want to do the stuff that I have to do, but stuff that I can volunteer for, stuff that I can roll up my sleeves for, absolutely, all in. So let's say, it's an incredible, incredible, so that's why, if you're commanded to do something and you do it, you actually get greater schar than if you do it and you're not commanded to do it. It's easier to volunteer. It's easier to feel like you're going above and beyond. But to satisfy your responsibilities, that is Yitzhahara again. So therefore the Gemara suggests, yes, the Ovid Kochavim ultimately do get reward. But they get reward for like someone who is Einot Mitzuvah Va'osa and not someone who is Mitzuvah Va'osa. So the Gemara says, Elekach Orma Ovdi Kol Mei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rather, this is what the idolaters say before God. Ribon Shel Olam. Here it gets intense. Yisoh Shekiblua Heichan Kaimuha. So they say to Ribon Shel Olam, excuse me, you're painting the Jews like a group of angels. You're painting the Jews like you gave them the mitzvahs, and of course they're performing the mitzvahs. You know, we'd like to do some fact checking over here, right? Have the Jews really performed the mitzvahs in the way that you claim they did? Have the Jews really adhered to you as much as you claim they did? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ani meid b'hem shekimu, HaTorah, kula. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, yes, I will be meid. I, God, will testify. We'll say, listen to this. Omen from the Boshom, God, we mean no respect, but klum yesh av shemeyed al bino. Your pasul aedis. What's that? Can you imagine this? Thank you, Rebbe Shalom. I'm sorry. Your pasul aedis. A father is not permitted to testify about a son. D'chsiv bini b'chori Yisrael. So the Umosom say, Rebbe Shalom, it's not fair. You love them. We know. Okay, we got it. You love them. Therefore, you are pasul aedis or kal Yisrael. What's that? Do you understand what that means? You understand what that means about the love between the Ribono Shel Olam and us? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is pasul le'edus for Klal Yisrael. The Ribono Shel Olam cannot testify. This is God. He can testify anything. He's pasul le'edus for Klal Yisrael. Why? Because there's an Egeus, because there's an Ava, because there's a Chibra, because he's our father, and we're his children. Incredible. So Kashmir is fine. Ya'idu, Shamayim V'aretz Ya'idu. Let heaven and earth come and testify that Klal Yisrael has observed the entire Torah. So the Gemara says, heaven and earth can't testify either. Why? They're also no gebe edus. Shneimar im lo brisi yomam v'laylu chukos shemayim v'aretz lo samti. So we'll say, what does this mean? My covenant im lo brisi yomam v'laylu chukos shemayim v'aretz lo samti. We'll say the Torah, the pasuk, makes reference to a covenant and to statutes. What does this mean? What does the pasuk mean when it says, and it was evening and it was morning, the sixth day, Malamed? So we'll say, the question is, why is there a hay before Shishi? Malamed, Shisnach, Kodesh Baruch Hu, Maaseh Bereishis. The Rebbe Shlomo made a condition with creation. Va'amar, Im Yisrael Mekablin Es HaTorah Mutov, if Klal Yisrael accepts the Torah, good. Ve'im, good meaning nature will be sustained. Ve'im Lav, Ani Achzir Eschem L'Tov Avahu. But if not, I will return the world to nothingness. And Rabbi says, this is what Chizkiyah says, Maidich Siv, Mishamayim Mishmat Adin, Eretz Yara V'Shaketa, Im Yirei Alam HaShaketa, if the earth is fearful, then why is it quiet or tranquil? Vim Shaketa Lama Yirei, and if it's tranquil, why is it fearful? Ella B'Tchil Yirei, in the beginning of creation, the earth was concerned, because will it survive? Ulebasov Shaketa, and I will say, Lebasov, afterwards. Afterwards means what? After Klal Yisrael accepted the Torah at Har Sinai, then by definition the earth was tranquil. So I will say the idea over here is the Hashishi. You know, Rashi points out two different interpretations based on this Gemara. Hashishi could either mean either the reference is to the hay, which represents Chamishei Chumshei Torah, that the entirety of creation is predicated on Klal Yisrael's acceptance of the Torah, or Hashishi means the sixth. The sixth refers to what? The sixth of Sivan, which was the date of Kabbalah's HaTorah. Either way, embedded in the very pasuk itself is HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying to creation, you survive as long as what? As long as Klal Yisrael accepts the Torah. Therefore, again, the Umos HaOlam say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're sorry, but the heaven and earth can't testify on behalf of Klal Yisrael. Why? Because they're also Nogea Be'edus. Why are they? Right? Well, they also have a material interest in the testimony. Why? Because if Klal Yisrael doesn't survive, then what? Then what? Then they don't survive either. So the Gemara says, well, say this is so beautiful. The Rebbe Shlomo says, fine. The Rebbe says, this is amazing. The Baruch Hu says, you're telling me again? I'm Pasul Eidus. I got him Pasul Eidus. You're telling me Shaiva Artis Pasul Eidus? Fine. You know what? Let's have members from amongst the nations of the world who will come and give testimony. Yavo Nimrod v'yoid Bavram shalo avid avodas kochavim. Let Nimrod, Rabbi Osei, come along and testify about Avram, that Avram Avinu did not go ahead and worship avodas kochavim. Remember again, Nimrod was the one who threw Avram Avinu into the fiery furnace because Avram Avinu refused to bow down to the idols. Yavo Lavan v'yoid b'Yakov shalo nechshad ala gezel. Let Lavan come along and testify that Yaakov Avinu was never a thief. This Rashi points out, this is a reference to the incredible miracle that multiplied Lavan's flock on behalf of Yaakov. Tavo Eishes Potifar v'sa'id b'Yosef shal nechshad ala avera. Let the wife of Potifar come along and say that what? That Yosef did not succumb to his passions, that Yosef did not engage in immorality. Yavo Nebuchadnezzar v'yo'e b'chanani mishal v'azari shal ishtachavu l'tselem. Let Nebuchadnezzar come along and say about Chanani mishal and Azaria that they did not go ahead and bow down to the idol. Yavo Daryovesh v'yo'id b'daniel shal bitlas atfila. Let Daryovesh come along, Rabbi Osei, and testify that ultimately that Daniel never stopped davening. Rabbi Osei Rashi points out over here that Daryovesh had made a rule that you can only daven to him. That was a law he legislated. You should daven multiple times a day. Just daven to me, says Daryovesh. So Daniel defied. Rabbi Osei, that's how Daniel wound up. Remember again in the den of lions. Right, that's how he ended up there, because he davened illegally. It was a legal prayer. He davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that Yavo Bildad Ashuchi V'tzofar Na'amasi V'alifas HaTeimoni V'elo Ben Barach El Abuzi. So we'll say, these are all the friends of Eof. These are all the friends of Eof, who the Gemara identifies as Nevi'im in their own right. So the Gemara says, now Rashi actually points out, Rashi says, we take out Eliyahu ben Berachel, lo garsinim di Yisrael hava. So he says, we take him out of the list, because again, the other ones are all Gentile prophets. Ve'ya'idu ben Yisrael, shekaimu es kalatora kula, sheneemar, Yitnu Edeyam V'Atzidiku. So we'll say ultimately again, so Kadosh Baruch Hu finally says, fine, I can't be the aid, the heaven and earth can't be the aid, but there are enough members from amongst the Ummah of Sa'olam who could testify about the righteousness of Klal Yisrael. So we'll say, listen to this. To listen to this wasn't to the bracha. Listen to this. Rabosai, this gemara in and itself is such a musar. What's happening over here? The Ummah Sa'olam are being confronted by the folly of their ways. Right? They're being confronted ultimately again by the fact that they didn't lead the right kind of lives. So we'll say, when you are confronted with your mistakes, so what's normally the first course of action? Normally the first course of action is deflection. Deflection. Well, it wasn't me, or you're holding yourself up to such a high standard. Who are you? So what's happening over here? So the first course of action, when the Ummah Sa'olam ultimately again are confronted, is denial. First is denial, then deflection. Klal Yisrael is not so great. Now that we've shown that that's incorrect, what happens? Amar l'fanav ribono shel olam, fine, you're right. Tana lanu mirosh v'na'asena. Give us the Torah. So give us the Torah now and we'll do it. We'll do it. Okay. We'll say, this is amazing. This is amazing. We'll say, this is the story of the human condition. When all of the excuses go out the window, I'm forced to confront reality. Ribbono shel Olam, we made a mistake. We messed up. We made a mistake. We should have lived holier lives. We had Shem Mitzvot B'nei Noach. We didn't observe those properly. We should have pledged our allegiance to you. Fine, let us start again. Give us the Torah, or we'll say whatever this means, whether this means, it doesn't necessarily have to mean give us 613 mitzvahs, it means give us the principles of the Torah, and we'll do it. Amar lahem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shotim Shalom, what are you talking about, you fools? We'll say, get ready for this. Mi shetarach be'erev Shabbos, yochel b'Shabbos. And we'll say, it is only those who toil on Erev Shabbos who have the ability to eat on Shabbos. What does this mean? Look at Rashi. Be'erev Shabbos ba'olam hazeh. We'll say, remember, when is this happening? This conversation is occurring ultimately, again, in the Messianic era, Yemos HaMashiach. This is happening on Shabbos. Meaning, not literal Shabbos, but figurative, metaphorical Shabbos. The Ribbono Shel Olam says, you know, if you want a nice seuda on Shabbos, there's only one way to get there, and that is, you have to cook, you have to work, you have to labor on Erev Shabbos. Only those who labor on Erev Shabbos must have the ability to have the seuda on Shabbos. So, Mishalo Tarach B'Erev Shabbos. We'll say these words are so profound. Someone who does not work hard on Erev Shabbos, Mehechan Yochal B'Shabbos. What is he going to eat on Shabbos Kodesh? You understand the incredible message. The incredible message is, our whole lives we're working towards Shabbos. If you want a meaningful Shabbos, what does the Torah say? Sheshes yamim tasem elachtecha. You want a Shabbos. You want a Shabbos. You want a meaningful life. You want a meaningful Olam Haba. I have to work for it. Every single day, 6 days a week, I have to make sure that I'm working, that I'm moving my life in the right direction. Because if I think that I'm going to show up on Shabbos and there's going to be a takeout place right wherever I get to on Shabbos, it doesn't work that way. At least not without Kadosh Baruch Hu. If you want Shabbos, if you want Olam Haba, if you want to know that you've lived a meaningful and enriched life, then it's Sheishes Yomim. See, Ribbono Shel Olam just says, you have to prepare an Erev Shabbos. I'm more machmir than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? It's not just enough to work on Erev Shabbos. It's Sheishes Yomim Tasa Melach Techa. If you want real Shabbos, the preparation begins when? It begins on Sunday, right? This is Hillel and Shammai. It begins on Sunday already. If you begin working for your Shabbos on Sunday, then you'll have a Suda, then you'll have what to eat on Shabbos. So the Rosh Hashanah says, I don't know what you want, Ummah Sa'olam. It's Shabbos. And now you want Torah. It's Shabbos, and now you wake up. It doesn't work that way in life. Ela Afa Pikin. Rabbi will say, here's the Rachmanes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rosh Hashanah says, okay, but nevertheless, Mitzvah Kali Yeshli V'Sukkah Shema. I have a mitzvah for you, and it's an easy one. It's called sukkah. Luchuva asu osa. Go and make yourself a sukkah, and let's use this mitzvah. So Gemara says, one second. Do me matis amrasachni. This is amazing. The Gemara gets angry with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara says, Ribbono Shel Olam, that's not how it works. So only Jews can tell the Ribbono Shel Olam, that's not how it works. What do you mean you're giving them a mitzvah now? What does it mean when the pasuk says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, the mitzvahs that I'm commanding you today, Hayom la'asosam, velo l'machar la'asosam. It will say, mitzvahs are performed in this world, and not in the next world. Hayom la sosa v'la yom li tal schar. Today we do it, but today we don't get schar. Schar comes in the afterlife. So we'll say the idea that Gemara is saying over here is, Yibosham, you're bending the rules. You're bending the rules. The way the world is set up is this world is Erev Shabbos, and Olam Haba is Shabbos Kodesh. This world is the preparation. This world is the work. Or very often without the Su'ud, the Shabbos. And next world, Olam Haba, we'll say Mashiach, when Mashiach comes, that's Shabbos. Yibosham, how can you're now standing in Yimos HaMashiach, how can you now give them another chance? To which the Gemara says, "This is incredible." This is amazing, and this is an incredible yisod. The Ribono Shel Olam is conflict averse. The Ribono Shel Olam does not like to fight. The Ribono Shel Olam does not like machlokes. So the Umos Sa'olam are saying, "Nu, okay, let's go ahead and we want the Torah." Kadosh Baruch Hu, what is he going to say? No. Okay, you want it? Let's give it a try. Let's give it a try. Moshe doesn't want machlokes; he wants shalom. So we'll say what happens. By my karli mitzakala, why is sukkah called an easy mitzvah? The less mechisaron kifs, because I will say it doesn't cost anything. I will say you're thinking to yourself, it doesn't cost anything. You know how much those panels cost and the schach mats. I will say that's because we're spoiled, right? And that's because again we need everything easy and everything prefab and everything interlocking and everything 1, 2, 3. I will say, but sukkah, I have it also. I'm not giving mussar. I will say, but sukkah. The idea is, if you think about it, sukkah can be performed with all what we'll call natural. What is it? Naturally found materials. In other words, I could forage and find whatever I need for sukkah. The idea is it doesn't have to cost me anything. Fine, so what happens about say? So that the umos are only given sukkah. So we'll say, you have to give the Ovdei Kochavim incredible shkoyach. Because what happens about say? Miyad. Miyad means what? Immediately. There's this rizos. So everybody goes and they make their sukkah on the top of their roof. So what does the Ibn Shalom do? He makes it as hot as in the middle of the summer solstice, right? So he goes ahead and he brings out the Tammuz sun. And what happens? We all know what that feels like. It does not feel like Gan Eden, right? Mamish, it feels like the other place. So what happens? Kadosh Baruch Hu goes ahead and takes out the sun in its full strength. And the Umos Olam go out. They kick the sukkah. And they leave. Shneamar, ninaskas mosro semo, nashlicho menas avosemo. Let us cut the cords and let us throw away the ropes. Makdir va'amrit yachash baruch ba'uchan miyosef. I don't understand. You just said before that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't fight with his creations. So God, why are you making it especially hot? In other words, it sounds like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going out of his way to make it ridiculously hot. Why do that? Oh, I'll tell you why. Mishum diyisrael nami zimnin amadei zavosai. Mishum diyisrael nami zimnin. Because very often that's our sukkis, right? Our sukkis is also performed in the midst of the summer. In other words, even though again sukkis is in the middle of Tishrei, as we know very well, it could be 100 degrees. So therefore, Rabbi Yosef, the Ribono Shel Olam is just saying, listen, I'm going to give you the mitzvah, but you have to be willing to perform it under the same conditions that Klal Yisrael performs it. So Klal Yisrael performs it under the conditions of extreme heat. Therefore, you're willing to do that as well. One second, Vamarava, Mitztair Patamina Soga. But Rava says, but one second, Rabosai, Mitztair, if someone is exceptionally uncomfortable, they're putting Rabosai. By the way, many people don't know this. People often think that the din of Mitztair only applies to cold, but it's not true. The din of Mitztair also applies to heat. Also applies to meaning. So a person would be permitted to leave their sukkah in a situation of extreme heat as well. So Rava says, I don't understand. This is not a test, meaning if HaKadosh Baruch Hu was bringing out the blazing sun, it's ridiculously hot, you're permitted to go inside your house. So they're putter from sukkah. So which the Gemara says, you're right, Rava, so listen to this. Nihi de putter, ba'ute mi mevati. It's true, they're putter. But why do you have to kick it on the way out? See, Rava says, when the Jew leaves the sukkah, he leaves begrudgingly. When the Jew leaves the sukkah, what does he do? He goes around and he canvasses everybody. Are you okay? Are you okay? What do you think? Should we go? They go inside. And then Rabbi Yosef, you know, when you go inside from the sukkah, you know what happens. And you go inside from the sukkah, Rabbi Yosef, there's an incredible overwhelming feeling of guilt. Saying, you know, really, like, this was my opportunity to be Moser Nefesh. Maybe I should have been Moser Nefesh, but everyone's uncomfortable. This one's upset. This one's already not talking to me. This one's about to not talk to me. I hope this one doesn't talk to me. And all of this different stuff. And I have all these cheshbonos. And the whole time I'm eating, but I've lost my appetite because, oh my gosh, you know, I'm Moser Nefesh for absolutely nothing. This is why I'm on opportunity for Mesiras Nefesh. And now, like, I am such a little girl. You'll excuse me, right? I'm just like, I get too old. I get to this. Like, I'm going inside. And what happens? The Umos Rabosai, it gets too hot, they kick the sukkah, they go out. The kicking the sukkah, Rabosai, the kicking the sukkah ultimately represents this despising of the mitzvah, this negative feeling. And Rabosai, the way you leave the sukkah speaks volumes about your spiritual character. The Jew leaves the sukkah begrudgingly and longingly. Right? The Jew loves the sukkah on every step he's looking back. And every step he says, maybe I should go back in. Maybe it's okay. We'll do the meal a little bit faster. The Ovi Kochavim, it gets too hot. He kicks it. He resents it. He doesn't, what do I need this for? And he leaves. Miyad Yoshev HaKadosh Baruch Hu U'Mesachei Kaleim. The Bosei Ribono Shel Olam sits back and literally, Mesachei Kaleim literally means he laughs. He laughs. Shene Amar Yoshev Hashan Yitzchak. Vam Rabbi Yitzchak in Tzchok Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ela Osigam Bilvan. Now, Bosei, this is an interesting concept which we'll talk about more. There is no, generally, Tzchok is not an attribute to be found by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? So we'll say, generally, Tzchok is not found before God. Ela Osahayom Bilvan. Exception that day. Now, Bosei, now the reason for that we'll discuss. But in general, Ribono Shel Olam is not known for his boisterous laughter. Right? He's not known for his good sense of humor. He's not known for Tzchok. Tzchok literally means like laughter or jest. So we'll say, except on this day, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees the arguments of the Ovdei Kochavim essentially evaporate right in front of them and right in front of him, he laughs. Be'ikad demasni lahad Rav Yitzchak ahad. The same Rav Yossi Omer. Va'asid lavo. Ba'in HaKadosh Ovdei Kochavim is gairin. We'll say, listen to this. In the future Mashiach comes, the Ovdei Kochavim will come and will convert. Will we accept them as converts? We'll say, yeah, we learn. When Mashiach is supposed to say, a very profound statement. When Mashiach comes, we will not accept any more converts. We'll say, similarly, along those same lines, we did not accept converts during the days of David and Malcolm, during the days of Shlomo. We'll say, for one simple reason. What's the common denominator between the days of David, Shlomo, and Mashiach? These are the times when Klal Yisrael is on top. We don't accept converts and Klal Yisrael is on top. But we'll say for one simple reason, we can't tell if the conversion is genuine. Everybody likes to be part of the winning team. You know, part of what we tell a person when they convert is just know that the Yisrael Devuyim, Sechufim, were persecuted. We're persecuted, we'll say. And again, even though, thank God, we live in unparalleled times. We live in unparalleled times, even in diaspora. Lemaise, again, we know we're a persecuted, despised nation. People do not like us. It's important to go ahead and remember that. And never chas shalom delude ourselves into thinking that we're accepted or that we're loved. We are tolerated. And we're tolerated. And we're tolerated as long as we serve the needs of others. The moment that we stop serving the needs of others is the moment that the world turns on us. Right? We'll say, and it's very important to live with this yisod. I know it sounds like a little bit of a downer, but I will say it is the unequivocal truth. No one loves us. They tolerate us as long as there is a utilitarian relationship, as long as we serve their benefits in some way, as long as we feed the economy, as long as we have the fundraisers, as long as we do this, then we're needed. Then everybody loves us. The moment Rabbi Yossi that stops is the moment that the Jew will be cast away. So that's when we accept Gerim. You want to join us then? Fantastic. But again, at any other time, we don't accept. So Gemara says, how can we accept Gerim in Yemos HaMashiach? So it says, Gemara, Ella, Shenasu Gerim Girurim. Rabbi Yossi, what it means is, they become Gerim on their own. They become Gerim on their own. Umanichan Tfilim Barashin and Tfilim Bazarazayim. Tizis Bibidim, Zuzabi Pisrayim. So we'll say, listen to this. So the Umos HaOlam, the Umos HaMashiach, just begin observing the mitzvahs on their own. So they begin putting on tefillin, putting on mezuzahs, wearing tzitzis. Amazing. And I will say, again, to be clear, they have not been officially converted. They're just doing this on their own out of a personal decision to join Klal Yisrael. I will say, get ready for this. Kevan Shurah Mechamis Gogu Mogo. I will say, it's actually very interesting because the timeline of Messianic redemption, according to this Gemara is interesting. It sounds like over here, according to the Gemara, that there's Mos HaMashiach, which is some type of messianic prayer which is initiated. Then comes the war of Gog and Magog. Now we know that there are two Mashiachs. There's Mashiach ben Yosef, Mashiach ben David. Mashiach ben David, according to most opinions, comes after the war of Gog and Magog. It could be the messianic era that they're referring to over here is a messianic era that is initiated by Mashiach ben Yosef. I guess we're going to mirror Tashem Sibish Atov Mitzlachos. But the point over here is they have this self-imposed conversion. Then the war of Gog and Magog, which is the ultimate showdown between good and evil, which is a war against Klal Yisrael. Omer Lahem, Ma'am Abasim. So we'll say, when the war of Gog and Magog comes, so they ask the enemies of the Jews, why are you here? Why are you here? Omrim Lo, Al Hashem Va'al Mashicho. We're here to wage war against God and against His anointed nation, or against His anointed one, Mashiach ben Yosef. Shneamar, Lamu Rak Shugam Lomim Yagurik, V'chol Echad Menatek Mitzvaso, V'holech. We'll say, when the Umos Olam hear that the nations of the world are here to do war against HaKadosh Baruch Hu and against Klal, so what do? They take off their tefillin, they take down the mezuzah, they put the tzitzis and shemus, and they say, no thank you. Shnei Mar, Ninatzko es Mosro Sema, V'Rakadosh Baruch Hu Yoshev Mesachek. And the Ribon Shalom sits, and Yeschok, he laughs. Shnei Mar, Yoshev Hashem Yischok. The Ribon Shalom also sees that herein lies the difference between the Jew and the Ovid Kochavim. The Jew's resolve, Rabbi Ossai, is unshakable. The Jew's resolve and commitment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is unbreakable. In times of good, and in times of difficulty, we are aligned with the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Umos on Rabbi Ossai unfortunately demonstrate over and over that even when there is dveikus, it's a fair-weather dveikus. That at the end of the day, everybody likes to be part of the winning team. But the moment that there are challenges, the moment that there are difficulties, they no longer cast their lot with the God of Israel. So the Gemara says the following. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yitzchok, Ima HaKadosh Baruch Yitzchok, Elo Ossai Yom Bilvan. The Ribbono Shel Olam has schok, has laughter on that day, only on that day. Is that true, Ini? V'amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rav Shter. Rabbi Ossai, this is actually amazing. This is, how does the Ribbono Shel Olam spend his day? Well, so you ever wonder, how does God spend his day? Someone's going to say, how does God spend his day? There are 12 hours in the day. Well, so this is amazing. Shalosh Rishon, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yoshev Ba'osik B'Torah. Well, so for the first 3 hours of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sits and learns Torah. So we'll say, this is an important lesson in and of itself. Because in the event that you think that your career is too demanding to go ahead and be koveya itim latora, to go ahead, you are not busier than God. Let's go on the record with that. No one is busier than God. So the Ribbono Shel Olam has got 3 hours a day that he sits and he learns. Okay, so maybe I don't have 3 hours, but lemaisa, again, clearly, if the Ribbono Shel Olam is setting aside time to learn, I have time to answer. Shabbos says, also dramatically amazing, how the Ribbono Shel Olam grows from Torah as well. Kiviyachol, that the Ribbono Shel Olam some way, somehow, maybe grows is the wrong word, but derives something from Torah. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu could derive something from Torah, then imagine what we're able to derive from Torah as well. So what happens? Shnios, we'll say after that, right? So the first 3 hours of the day, he goes and he says, learns Torah. Shnio, second 3 hours, Yoshev v'danas kol ha'olam kulo. He judges the entire world. Kevan sherosh nischayev olam kliya. And we'll say, here's the problem. Judgment pretty much always comes out the same way, which is mankind deserves to be destroyed. So we'll say, so that's how judgment pretty much comes out. But yet, omid mikisi adin v'yoshev ha'kisei rachamim. The Ribbono Shel Olam stands up from the throne of justice and sits down on the throne of compassion. So what it means, this Baruch Hu realizes he can't judge the world through the prism of strict justice because it won't work. Mankind won't survive. So instead he judges man through the prism of compassion. We'll say first wide line. The Gemara says, Shlishios, we'll say the third set of hours, Yoshev Vizan Eskala Olam Kulo, Mekarne Re'imim Ad Beit Sekimim. He sustains the entire world, Rabbi Ossai. Literally, karni reim means the very large animals, to beit sekinim, to the smallest of animals. Rabbi Ossai provides, poseach es yadecha u'masbia l'chol chai ratzon. So we'll say in the third set of hours, Kadosh Baruch Hu takes care of sustaining the world. Revios, Yoshev u'mesachik im lev yasan. Rabbi Ossai, this is very interesting. In the fourth set of 3 hours, he goes in and he spends time, literally, again, playing with the Lev Yasan. He'll say, so we'll discuss what this means. Playing with the Lev Yasan, what does that mean? So he'll say, we're going to see, Shinemar Lev Yasan Zeh Yatzarta L'Sachek Bo. Remember again, so he'll say, Lev Yasan was the giant sea creature. Kadosh Baruch Hu created two, killed one of them, salted it for the meal of the tzaddikim by Mashiach, and the other one still exists. So he'll say, the idea being, and we'll see this more, actually, in tomorrow's daf as well, The idea over here that's trying to be created is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved with every aspect of creation. The parts of creation that are visible, the parts of creation that are not visible, the Ribbono Shel Olam is metapel, is actively involved with all of them. Shesa Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman Ra Yitzchak, in B'yosef Mesachek, Va'al B'yosef Eino Mesachek, Ela B'yosef Bilvad. So Rav Nachman says, Rabbo say, the Ribbono Shel Olam laughs together with his creations, but he never laughs about his creations, with the exception of that one day. That one day, I will say, being the day on which the claims of the Ovdei Kochavim are clearly proven to be false. From the day the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, I will say, there is no more laughter by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. From the day the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the Ribbono Shel Olam stops laughing. The Gemara says, from where do we know that there's no schok by HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Maybe it's because the pasuk says, and it is on, HaKadosh Baruch Hu called out on that day being the day that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, for Bechi, Mispeid, and Karcha, literally crying eulogies, are both like Karcha means tears. Dilma, Hahu Yom Vesulo. Maybe what it means on the day that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, we should cry, we should eulogize, and no laughter. But on other days we can laugh. Ela dechsev im eshkachech Yerushalayim tishkach yemini. Rather, what we learn from the pasuk: if I forget Yerushalayim, I shall forget my right arm. Tidbak lishoni lechiki. Let my tongue cling to my palate. Im lo eskerechi. If I do not remember you, Yerushalayim. To which the Gemara says, so from here the Gemara suggests that from here you see that because we must perpetually remember Yerushalayim, there is no laughter. Dilma shechacha hudaleka avaschok mihaika. I don't understand. Maybe what it means is, Rabbo say, I can't forget Yerushalayim, but I could still laugh. In other words, Rabbo say, they're not mutually exclusive. I can forget, ultimately, again, that I can't forget that which has been lost, but that does not preclude the possibility of schok. Elameha. Rather, says the Gemara, we learn out from the following pasuk. The Gemara over here quotes from the pasuk from Yeshayo. So the Gemara says, Hechashisi me'olam acharish es apak. Rather, I will say the pasuk says "Hecheshisi me'olam acharish hazavak," which literally means "I will be quiet eternally." Acharish, I will silence myself. Esapak, I will hold back. So from here, the Ribbono Shel Olam says that from the day that Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, ultimately again, I am restrained in my laughter. I will say even the Ribbono Shel Olam mourns for the Beis HaMikdash every single day, and even in a more dramatic way than us, because we still laugh, Baruch Hashem, we still rejoice, Baruch Hashem, but by the Ribbono Shel Olam, there's no schok since the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Amar Reish Lakish, I'm sorry. Berevi Yosmai Avid. I will say, what happens? Well, this is actually a very profound and beautiful Gemara. What happened in the fourth set of 3 hours? Remember, I was saying again, you see the Ribbono Shel Olam's day is broken up into 3 hour increments. So what happens in the fourth increment of 3 hours, the last 3 hours of the day? My Rebbe was saying, listen to how beautiful this is. Yoshev umalame tinoko shal beis rabin Torah. Let's say this is a dramatic Gemara. The Ribbono Shel Olam sits and he teaches Torah to the young children. I will say, who are the young children? Take a look at Rashi. Rashi says over here, well, actually, not yet, I'm sorry. Shnei Amar, Esmi Yoredeya, Vesmi Yavin Shmua, to whom does he show wisdom? To whom can he make his teachings understood? Gimule Mechalav, Atiki Mishadayim. Lemi Yoredeya, U Lemi Yavin Shmua. I will say, to whom does HaKadosh Baruch Hu teach wisdom? To who does he understand? To who does he make his statements understandable? Legimule chalav ulatiki meshadayim. Rabbi say, what does that mean? Literally, to those who are nursed, or to those who are weaned, I should say. Rashi says, gimule chalav shemesu kishehem kitanim. Rabbi say, understand the incredible profundity of this Gemara. The Gemara says, to who does HaKadosh Baruch? What does HaKadosh Baruch do with the last 3 hours of the day? He teaches Torah to children who died when they're young. So this is the Ribbono Shel Olam has a yeshiva also, and it's the yeshiva of children who left this world when they were young. It's the children whose parents don't have the opportunity to raise them, to take care of them, to nurture them. The Ribbono Shel Olam teaches them Torah each and every day. For the last 3 hours of the day, in the yeshiva of the Ribbono Shel Olam are the Gimulei Chalav, are the Tinoko Shel Beis Rabin who left this world when they're young, and literally have the best Rebbe of all. The Rebbe who is not just the Rebbe, but the Rebbe who is a father. The Rebbe who loves them, nurtures them, and gives them 3 hours of his divine day each and every day. Such an incredible Gemara. Umeikara man hava migmalu. So it says the Gemara, ultimately against Saravosa, here's what's interesting. So the Gemara understands over here that block of time that was at first used ultimately again for the Tinoko Shel Beis Rabban was occupied by the Beis HaMikdash at first. So the idea is when the Beis HaMikdash stood, who educated these children? In other words, who gave that shir before the Ribbono Shel Olam had this time? So the Gemara says, Ibai Seima Metatron. Could be that it was the Malach Metatron. Ibai Seima Hava HaAvid. The Ribbono Shel Olam did both. He looked in on the Beis HaMikdash and he also taught the children. Ubalai Lamai Avid. So we'll say, now we know the Ribbono Shel Olam's day. So I'll say, we just got to do a ride along with the Ribbono Shel Olam. Right now we see exactly how he spends his day and what he does each and every day. So I'll say, look at the Gemara says, Nu, and what does he do at night? Right? We know you don't need to sleep. So what do you do at night? So it says the Gemara, Ibais Ema Me'en Yamama. So I'll say one possibility is that his nighttime schedule mirrors the daytime schedule. Vibais Ema, Rochev ala Kruv Kal Shalom. Vishat Bishmona Asar Elef Olamos. What's the other possibility is the Ribbono Shel Olam has a chariot, right? A fast chariot, and the arch kruv is literally a malach. He has a malach who is his chariot, and the Ribbono Shel Olam literally ventures into the 18,000 worlds. In other words, we'll say the Gemara many times discusses this concept that there are many worlds beyond our own. Many worlds beyond that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. Either HaKadosh Baruch Hu created them and left, or HaKadosh Baruch Hu created them and destroyed them. But there are worlds beyond our own. And at night, HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes in and checks in on those worlds. Shnei Amar, Rachav Elokim Ribosayim, Elef Shanon, Al Tikri Shanon, Elo She'inon, Vibay Seima, Yoshev Vishomea Shira Mepichayos. What's the other possibility is that at night, HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens to the beautiful angelic song. The song from the Chayos, Shnei Amar, Yoma Yitzav Hashem Chastu B'layla Shira Imo. Amar Bilevi, Kala Posik Midivrei Torah, Va'osek B'divrei Sicha. So we'll say, okay, now we're switching gears for just a moment. Rabbi Levi says, whoever stops learning Torah and engages in idle chatter, B'divrei Sicha, Ma'chilin lo gichali resamim. We'll say, this is pretty shtark. So if a person goes ahead and is learning Torah and he stops learning Torah, so literally again, they feed him burning coals. Well, say the idea being is like a mita kineged mita over here. If I'm using my mouth to learn Torah and I interrupt that pursuit to do something idle and unnecessary, so my koach hadibur is impacted. Shnei Amar hakotfim. Here the Gemara is quoting here from the pasuk from Iov. Hakotfim maluach alesiach v'shoresh risoim v'shoresh risomim lachmam. Fine. As the Gemara goes later, I'm Rish Lakish. Kol ha'ostik b'Torah b'alayla. If a person learns Torah at night, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mosheich Alav Chut Shel Chesed Bayom. We'll say this is so beautiful. If a person goes ahead and learns Torah at night, so the Ribbono Shel Olam literally places upon him a Chut Shel Chesed, a thread of Chesed by day. Well, so what that means is a person is endowed with a certain amount of angelic Chesed, or I should say divine Chesed by day. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says over here, Chut Shel Chesed, No sein cheino be'eni habrios. We'll say what this means is, person learns Torah at night, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him a special chein, that he's able to find chein, he's able to find favor in the eyes of others by day. Shnei Amar, Yomam Yitzava Hashem Chazdo, Ubalayla Shira Imo. Matam Yomam Yitzava Hashem Chazdo. Why is it that ultimately by day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be mitzava, that a person will find chesed in the eyes of others? Mishum Debalayla Shira Imo. Because at night, the song of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, i.e. Torah, was with him. But the idea is that if a person takes nighttime, is a time when a person would normally fall asleep. If a person takes of his nighttime and uses it for Avodas Hashem, then what? Rabosai, the Ribbono Shel Olam gives him an additional measure of divine favor, an additional measure of chein. So the Gemara goes right there. The Gemara says, Ike de Amri, other possibilities, Amri Shlakish, Kala Osik Patorah Ba'olam Hazeh, Hadome Lelaila. Rabosai, if a person learns Torah in this world which is often compared to night, right? So we'll say, why is Torah compared to night? Why is this world compared to night? Because of the difficulties and because of the suffering and because of all the challenges we have. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshech Alav Chut Shel Chesed Ba'olam Haba. The Ribbono Shel Olam ultimately again goes ahead and ensures that there's a Chut Shel Chesed, a little strand of Chesed, extra chain that accompanies me in the world to come. Hadom Eliyom. Because that world is compared to the day Shnei Amar Yomam Yitzav Hashem Chasdo. Amrav Yudam Shmuel, my dechsev, vate asa adam kidigay yom, keremes la Moshe bo. So we'll say, listen to this. So we'll start this, we'll have to stop in the middle. Rabbi Yehuda said, name of Shmuel. What's the meaning of the pasuk Rabbi that says, that vate asa adam kidigay hayom, that man is made, Rabbi say, the pasuk over here is talking about in Chabakuk, that a person, that man is made like the fish of the sea, keremes la Moshe bo. Lama nimshalu b'nei adam kidigayam, or lama, for what purpose are both sides of people compared to fish? Lomar l'cha, both say second of the widest lines. Ma dagim shabayam kevan sholom yabashim yad mesim. Just like the both sides, fish of the sea, when they come onto the land, they die. Af b'nei adam, kevan sheparshim edivrei Torah min amitzos miyad nesim. But say so to people. So people, if a Jew doesn't have Torah, Jew doesn't have mitzos, we'll say it's as if he's without his very life force and he dies. Maybe not physically, but certainly spiritually. We'll say just like the fish needs water to survive, the Jew needs his ruchnius, the Jew needs his Torah, the Jew needs his spirituality, not just his and her, in order to go ahead and survive as well. Davar acher, ma dagim shabayam kevan shekadra aleim chama miyad mesim. But say just like the fish of the sea, if they are exposed to the sun, without the protection of the water, they die. Kach b'nei adam kevan shekadra aleim cham miyad mesim. But say so too, man, if he's exposed to the sun, ultimately, again, without the protection of Torah, he also dies. We'll say, ultimately, again, what that means, Rashi, the Gemara says, what sun are we talking about? Some say it's the sun of this world. Others say it's the sun of the next world. So we'll say, you know what? I don't want to rush through this. But the idea over here is a fundamental machlokis, ultimately, again, on how we understand the sun. So we'll stop with Rabbi Say. We'll pick up with this piece tomorrow. But the idea being the comparison between man and fish, just like the fish needs the water to survive, ultimately, again, man needs Torah mitzvahs in order to survive. Just like the fish, if the sun beats down on it without the protection of water, it'll die. So too, if the sun beats down on man without the protection of Torah, he'll also die. What's the sun? Emirat Hashem to be continued tomorrow.